And now for something completely different. Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's marvelous, monumental, most fascinating, massively mind-bending Monday as we join our hearts and minds as one, drawing closer to the King of Kings and glorifying his name. First, we come to a part of Job's speech where he begins his ultimate final descent and reaches the lowest of the lows. He starts comparing himself to the people who are his peers and their children too. And quite frankly, he's disgusted by this because the kids are people who aren't devoted or committed to the Lord the right way. We're not talking about 15 or 20 year olds, just so you can know. These are 30, 40, and 50 year olds who think that they know better. Youth often does think they know better. Ironically, they could even be part of our own family. Next, chapter 30, verse 16, Job expresses the darkness of the moment when he says his heart is broken and that depression haunts his days. There are many people that we know who suffer from depression. Making fun of anybody who struggles with this is a dark and evil position to take. Some of these people need very powerful healing from the Lord directly. Some of these people need medication, which is also a gift from God. And some of these people just need to be loved right out of the darkness. And finally here, Job makes another powerful and somewhat discouraging statement. He was looking for good, but evil came. He was hoping for light, but darkness came. And all of this, his heart was troubled, and he can find no rest. His days of affliction were mounting. He was walking in deep gloom. Interestingly, he says his days of affliction are upon him, and not his years of affliction. It just feels longer.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Like that one. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us during the show. David@hemustincrease.org. That's David, without anything in front or behind it, just David@hemustincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us. That's always cool. You can call us directly, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Now, when you make that call, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid Dynamite.
Talking to Dynamite D is that same concept and knowledge when you realize that all your stress doesn't need to be stressed about.
Oh, Dave, nice.
That's like you're like going, wait a second. I don't have to be like that. I can have a lightness, not a heaviness. That's right. That's what it's like to talk to him. He will bless you just in you talking to him. You think, no? Yeah? Yeah, really? Give him a call. See if I'm right. See if I'm wrong. Bottom line, maybe you've got a prayer request. Bring it, and we'll pray together, petitioning the Lord, asking for his help as brothers and sisters in the Lord. Maybe you've got a praise report, something that happened, and the Lord's done it, and you're just like, I don't even know how to share it. Yeah, call. We'll figure it out. We'll get there. We'll do it together, and you'll have that opportunity to share. Maybe, just maybe, you have an answer to Bible trivia. Here we go. And this is just referenced, even though the entire first half hour was spontaneous. This was just referenced in the last segment. That tells you everything you got to know, folks. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know..." What? What will they know if we love one another the way that Jesus loved? What will people know if we love one another the way that Jesus loved us? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. Also, you can text 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, David@hemustincrease.org. A couple things just to remind you of. We are doing our contest. I know people don't like the clues. That doesn't matter. What was our, can you give Dynamite D our clue, our last clue? I believe it's Wacky Sounds. Is that correct?
Wacky Sounds is the last clue. So we have two clues, and that is the second one.
Okay, so that is the second one. That'll go up on the website soon enough. Also, don't forget June Buddies. That means you're listening, you're hearing somebody. You're just like, ooh. And then you just say, I'm going to pray for that person. We're still in June. I think we're only at June 19th. You got plenty of time to be praying for one another and plenty of expectation that we should be praying for one another. Don't forget your June buddies. Plus, don't forget to pray for your family, especially those who are lost, that they might get saved. I do want to give a shout out to all the dads, granddads, new dads, old dads, old dads, and everybody involved from yesterday's Father's Day. And I did get to have contact with all my kids, and that's nice. And so it's always a lovely, lovely time in life. In the meantime, we're going to jump into this scripture one more time on the trivia question, then we're jumping in. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are what? You are what?" Oh, you guys should know that one. Okay, if you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email, David@hemustincrease.org. So all those are available. I actually dropped my notes on the floor. How often do I do that?
Not a lot, I don't think.
I don't think I do it a lot. Okay, here we go. Okay, so we're going to talk about Job. We're still in Job. I know some people are like, are we ever going to get done with Job? Yes, but it's a long book. I mean, we're 30 chapters that we've covered. That's pretty good. Wait, you see, when we do Genesis, you think that's going to go fast? By the time we finish Genesis, the Lord may have come back. So I'm just telling you now ahead of time, so don't get upset about it. Here's what we have. In the text, we are going to go into this portion of Job where Job is not always doing the best. I don't know if you've noticed that or not about Job, but he doesn't always do the best. He did so good for chapters 1 and 2, didn't he? And even part of 3. But then you kind of get to see this little wind down. So we're going to pick it up from Job 30 and go quickly from 30 to another portion after that. But this is really important. Job chapter 30, verse 1. Okay, now remember, Job just finished all about, you know, complaining that he did good, he was great, I was fantastic, I was awesome. So, of course, he was making it all about him, which is not a great idea. And then he says, now in chapter 30, verse 1, "But now I am mocked by those who are younger than I, by young men whose fathers are not worthy to run with my sheepdogs." Wow. Could you say it any? I mean, is that as mean as you can be? These guys, they're not even worth a
dagger.
Wow. They're not even, look at, their fathers aren't even worthy to run with my sheepdogs, let alone the kids. Wow. Now I want to skip up to verse 9 because I want you to catch this. Look at what he said, because it's all the same thing. Verse 9, "And now their sons mock me with their vulgar songs. They taunt me. They despise me. They won't come near me except to spit in my face. For God has cut the cords of my tent. He has humbled me, so they have thrown off all restraint." This is a guy who's not having a good day, not having a good week, not having a good month, perhaps. And this is the part where he gets to a point where he is getting, and this is something that actually happens, when bitterness starts to take hold. And don't tell me he didn't have bitterness. Of course he did. The Lord rebukes him for that. We'll get to that. When it starts to take hold, you start comparing yourself to other people and then comparing that comparison to the Lord. In other words, you say, come on, Lord, I'm not as bad as this person, or this person. I never, ever did it. These people are low on the totem pole. What are you doing to me? And when you start comparing yourselves, the Bible says those that compare themselves by themselves are not wise. Why? Well, number one, your entire circumstance, your entire life is exceedingly different than anybody else's life. I'm not saying this to mock anybody, but do you not understand that all of the things that you've processed and all the things that you've gone through, while the trials have similarity, there is still uniqueness for each one of us in how we embrace it, how it touches us, how we respond to it, depending on where our walk is, what our faith is, what our processes and what the entire trial is all about. What if your entire trial is completely different and geared towards a different result than mine, although they have a lot of similarities? Well, fantastic, but they're not going to be the exact same. And because of that, you can't compare yourself with others that way. And you can't look at other people and go, look what kind of leader that is, Lord. And I'm the one that has to go through trials. Why aren't you blowing up his shoes? See, I know, you're not going to say that, but it's the thing deep in you where you don't say it, but you know it's there, but you don't remove it, that tells all of us, ooh, I better not do that. In fact, we do have a prime example in the New Testament where, of course, Peter is told by Jesus how he's going to die, and then what does he do? He turns and points at John and says, what about that guy? And see, this is the problem, the what about that guy? Doesn't count. What did Jesus say? What's that to you? You follow me. But I'm not getting, I'm not, their person's getting, it's nicer for them. What is that to thee? Followest thou me? But they get more blessings than me. What is that to thee? Followest thou me? But they're 10 times the sinner I am. What is that to thee? Followest thou me? I know you're getting that. And so the problem there is you can't really do that. You can't. And in Job's process, at least I give him lots of credit. At least he doesn't lie about it. Hey, listen, these kids are mocking me. Their dads aren't even worthy to walk with my dogs. It's like, wow, right? Wait. But Jesus said, what is that to thee? Followest thou me? See, you look at that, you go, this is like a challenge in the Christian walk. Sure it is, because there's times where I go through things and I think, first of all, I'll just be honest. I mean, I might as well just so I can never figure out why we don't have like excess funds. I'd like to buy things for people, not family, even for people in the ministry, like that for D and for, I'd love to do tons of things. I'd love to take some of that money and transcribe some more things and do this and do this. That'd be great. And then here's my Lord, these people have got millions of dollars. They're driving in jets. What is that to thee? Followest thou me? Yes, Lord. That's my response most of the time. There's other responses where I go, I want more tissues. Okay, that's really not the answer, but that is sometimes my response. Okay, let's, at least I'm trying to be honest with you. Let's go back to the trivia question. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. That's what demonstrates true witnessing and discipleship, our love for one another. Get that? One another. Okay? Not the system of the world, one another. Okay? All right. Take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
This KAAM radio show with your very own David Spoon is not a business, but a nonprofit ministry first and foremost committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and strategically equipping the saints. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Christian believers, the hurting, and those not yet believers who need biblical truths. To continue our radio ministry and message of truth, we need many of our faithful listeners to support us, as well as ministry partners who might wish to sponsor the He Must Increase ministry. By giving, you wonderfully facilitate our priorities of assertively teaching the Word of God, and you get nothing in return. No quid pro quo. Nothing but a receipt at year end indicating you gave to us, since your donation is 100% tax deductible. Remember that it says in Corinthians that whoever sows generously will also reap generously, or in Proverbs where it teaches that a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. But if you cannot give, no problem. Continue to enjoy and learn and give however you see fit whenever you can. To support us, go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Such support is terribly appreciated, knowing it enables our beloved David Spoon to give to all of us his time, energy, like so few can, right here on KAAM.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience on KAAM.
What is the purpose of human creation? God was bored and wanted a Tinker toy set to play with. He wanted a Petri dish to look at so he can go, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. As opposed to the mindset that says, well, this whole thing is a divine experiment. The Lord was bored. Impossible to be bored if you're not stuck by time, by the way. Oh, you didn't think of that, right? Because he's not bound by time. The purpose of human creation ultimately is four words. Here we go. The purpose of creation for humanity? To fellowship with God.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, where the truth of the matter is I do have one of the coolest jobs ever. Okay, that's just the fact. Sorry. that's just the truth. I can't do much about it. Here you go. Let's see if you guys can get this one. Here's our next trivia question. James wrote, every good and perfect gift is from? Every good and perfect gift is from? Okay, now I do want you to know, three trivia questions, three different pow-pows. So we had Al, we've had Ginny, and now we've had Joanne and Cordelia. Three different ones. So it's in James, it's chapter 1, verse 17. If you're looking for a real reference, every good and perfect gift is from... I'm going to leave it there because I could just do that all day. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email, David@hemustincrease.org. I do, of course, have four jokes. I did not promise they would be good. I do not promise they will be good, but they are short. Therefore, you will be blessed because they are short. Ready? All right. This is no attacking men or women or anything like that. It's equally attacking and offending everybody. Okay? Just make sure you understand that. Here's the first one. Ready? Here we go. When it comes to telling her age, she's shy. Shy. About 10 years shy. Come on, that's not bad. How about this one? He has to see a doctor in the morning for a blood test, so he stayed up all night studying it. Okay, how about this one? Ready? He can stay longer in an hour than most people can do in a week. Boy, is that mean. And this one is a great one. If you don't like it, it's too bad, but it's funny. She made him a millionaire. Before she married him, he was a billionaire.
Tell me, Jesus! Tell me,
Jesus! Come on!
That was a good one.
Come on! That's hilarious. All right. You know how many people, can you just imagine this ministry before some other ministry? They'd probably be going, okay.
Right.
We're out.
That first one was good too, Dave. I actually like those.
Those are good ones. Every good and perfect gift is from Mom. 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. We are now in what I would consider to be a very, very important portion, and I want to talk about this, and I want to take a little time on this, and I'm not going to rush myself on it, even though there's all this stuff to do. Here's what we're talking about. We are now in Job chapter 30, verse 16. And I want you to get this because it's important, not just if you are dealing with this personally, but people around you are absolutely dealing with this. This is something that I'm very familiar with, personally, personal family-wise, and everything along those lines. Here we go. Job chapter 30, verse 16. And now my heart is broken. Depression haunts my days. My weary nights are filled with pain, as though something was relentlessly gnawing at my bones. And I want you to hear what's being said. Now my heart is broken. Depression haunts my days. My weary nights are filled with pain as though something were relentlessly gnawing at my bones. So Job expresses the darkness of the moment. We're coming to this conclusionary thing. He's going to make some pretty actually good statements in chapter 31. But before he gets there, he's just sinking to that level. And the truth of the matter is his heart is broken and depression haunts his days. And I want to make sure everybody understands that this is a real struggle for many people at many different levels. So to somebody who's in depression, the Latin word comes from to push under. You use your thumb to push down. It's being underneath that's being pushed down. Some people struggle with depression in a kind of a circumstantial basis. Some people struggle with depression because of traumatic events that have taken place. Some people struggle all their life and can't figure out why they can't seize on to hope. None of it's fun. None of it's funny. All of it's hard. There are actually, believe it or not, a couple of biblical remedies to help with some depression. Not all. Did you hear what I said? Not all. Some depression. One of the things that many scholars have written more material than you ever want to read about is when Elijah was just super bummed and also Jonah super bummed and super this. And then in both of those cases, God suggested napping, resting, recovering. There's no question that sleep is a great regenerator. It regenerates you physically. It regenerates you emotionally, psychologically. If you're not getting enough sleep, that's a big issue. Okay? I'm just saying. Don't make it. You got to get enough sleep. Something that Noel and I have talked about because I have had trouble sleeping for years. And it's not the best thing. That's why I drink so much sleepy tea. Right? Because I know I need help. If I get 2 hours and wake up, I can just go for another day and a half. That's a problem, though, because my body doesn't respond well to that. And then that hurts my body, and then that hurts my mind, and it all works that way. Some people at the point of depression need medication. Now, that does not work for everybody, but
to say it doesn't work for some is absolutely ludicrous. I know, I would say probably closer to 40 people that use medication and it has helped them function almost fully normally on a regular basis. It's like medicine's great. As long as it's not abused, as long as it's not, you know, misdiagnosed, and sometimes it takes a while to get there. I get it. And I understand, you know, Tom Cruise doesn't like any of it. That's great. Well, if you were a tiny Tom Cruise, I guess you could just medicate on all these other things. But that's not the point. The point is sometimes that medicine's good and people need it. And the truth of the matter is some people are really in depression because, and I'm going to say it and just be honest about it, they get no sense of love ever. They're just like, they're not feeling loved. Even though they know God loves them, they have a disconnect between human love. And because they have a disconnect between human love, that gives them a disconnect with divine love. It's not that God's not loving them, it's they're not, what's the word, receiving. They're not in that embracement, right? And so part of this is for you and I to understand if you're one of these people that is in depression, if you're one of these people that is in great need and you know it's serious, I've counseled counselors and I've been counseled by counselors. I think counseling is excellent. Scripture says it's excellent. I think you ought to use somebody who, I believe you think you ought to use somebody who is beneficial and understands your faith. But if you need counseling, get it. And don't let anybody disparage you or speak ill of you. In fact, if these three counselors for Job had been better, Job would have done better. That's one of the reasons God was mad. We're going to get into the specifics, but they also did a poor job of counseling. And so never make fun of that. Be supportive. It's not like you can't make a joke about it. I'm not saying that. What I'm trying to tell you is, hey, when people really go through this, it's hard, right? I have people close to me that have gone through this for years. And what do? Do you give up on them? No. You keep loving them every time you can. You keep embracing them. You keep encouraging them. You know, you might even be thankful that you're not going through it to some degree and be appreciative. But what I'm trying to encourage is be aware that's serious. That's a big issue. And the church is kind of split up. Oh, you can't do drugs or you should only counsel. It's like, no, there's not one solution to anything unless it's spiritual and has to do with Jesus. Okay? That's as easy as can be. It's not one food everybody should eat. There's not one ice cream everybody should eat. There's not one sport everybody should like. You know, it's not one television show. It's like absurd. And so if people need medication, they need it. If they need counseling, we would encourage it. Sometimes people can counsel at the pastoral level, and then the pastoral level will tell you, go to a more studied counselor. What I did in my master's program, which you have to do, is you have to take three classes on counseling. I have to. It's not, you know, no option. Master level counseling. Right. And then one time I had to meet with somebody face to face. It was really quite unusual. And counsel back with one another. It was really kind of fascinating. OK. And the process is very effective, very helpful. In fact, the person that I was able to talk to, they were really helpful for me for stop trying to perform. Right. Which is my big issue. And then for them, very helpful for going back into ministry. Like, you think the Lord set that up? You bet. So what I'm trying to say is if you're one of those people that go through that, fine. If you're a person that doesn't struggle with it and you don't understand, ask for a sympathetic heart so that you can understand, hey, Job is telling you, I know God. I talk to God. I live for God. I'm depressed. That's what he said. And so I encourage that, and I encourage if you need help, get it. Start, if you have to start your church, do that. And if they point you somewhere else, follow that procedure. If it leads to medication, don't be ashamed of that. And if you're a person that just really needs loving, you have to communicate that to somebody somewhere. It's amazing because the scripture says, confess your faults to one another, pray for one another that it may be healed. I think we only think of faults as the sins. Maybe they're the weaknesses too.
That's such a powerful point because I think so often in the church we kind of hide that. And it's real. Like so many just kind of bottle it in yourself, and that's not good either.
Wow. Yeah, and the world's not exactly supporting. You know, the world's smoke this, you know.
Smoke this and pop this other stuff.
I was like, that is not the only answer. It's like, come on there. It's not that particular one's not an answer at all, but that's not my point. My point is stay on track, right? Don't be abandoning, you know. People love you, and people will love you through it, and people will care for you. You don't have to be perfect. Being real, though, that's a little helpful, okay? James wrote, every good gift and perfect gift is from above. Okay, where? Above. Hey, you want to hear a great reference to this? Jesus came from above, which tells you that Jesus is good and perfect gift. There you go. We'll take our break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
I cannot wait, though. I have to do this particular sound. We might interrupt while I'm doing the teaching, but I got to do the sound because it is time for Bible Baloney Beatdown.
Hello.
Hello.
It's now time for David Spoon's Bible Baloney Beatdown. Bible Baloney Beatdown.
I'll knock your brains out if you had any.
I can't believe I'm allowed to do that. I love that. Anyhow, Bible Baloney Beatdown has to do with the kingdom of God. So there are people that go, well, you know, in Scripture, there's so many contradictions. Like, what about when Jesus said, if you're for me, then you're not against me. If you're against me, you're not for me. And they kind of mix it all up and so on and so forth. Let me just help out and just kind of set the record straight, keeping it simple. There are two. Now, watch what I'm going to show you. There are two. Okay. Watch. Somewhere between one and three. There are two. Okay, here you go. One more time. There are two kingdoms. I'm gonna blow your mind when I say this. There is the kingdom of God. Right? Everybody would agree. Okay, got it. Seek first the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. And then there is any other attempted kingdom. There is the kingdom of God, and then there's any other attempted kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of men, you know, it doesn't matter what it is. There's the kingdom of God and all the other ones, okay? And they're all just wrapped up into one thing. There's the kingdom of God and the kingdoms that are not the kingdom of God. That's all we got. That's all it is. Luke chapter 9, verse 49 through 50, John responded, Master, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him. Because he does not follow us. Verse 50. Don't stop him, Jesus told him, because whoever is not against you is for you. Keeping this in context, the person is not opposed. This is very important. The person is not opposed, but for the kingdom of God. He's not neutral. He's a kingdom advancer. He's somebody that is advancing the kingdom, casting out demons in the name of Jesus Christ. And John is like, well, he's not one of us. Okay, that's a whole separate sermon, a whole separate issue, which I'm sure your pastor has taught on many times. And that is the last thing that you need are a whole bunch of more people just like you or just like me. We need people to be like Jesus. And they don't need to follow us exactly. They need to follow Jesus. And I don't want to reproduce 1,000 me's. I want people reproducing being Jesus. Because I'm not going to do anything, but people who are more like Jesus, they make a difference. And in context, this person was advancing the kingdom by driving out demons in the name of Jesus Christ. He's a kingdom advancer.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. I'm getting ready for our next trivia question. Ready? Ready? Okay. Now, here's what Jesus said. Let's see if you can follow. I'm going to do the follow the bouncing ball one. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand's doing, so that your giving will be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. How? Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, when you give to the needy, Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. By the way, that's not a literalism. So that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. How? When you do it, how will he reward you? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. Also, you can text in 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Let's see. We're going to send you up to the website. I already told you about not to forget about June Buddies. Don't forget also on the website, a place for prayer and for praises. Just there. It's a form. It won't do anything weird to you. Plus, there is the brochures or the business cards or the bumper stickers. If you want those, they're free. They don't cost anything. Be glad to get them out to you as ambassadors. And then also there's a place to give on the website. You can pretty much figure it out when you get to the website. Check out hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
hemustincrease.org.
hemustincrease.org.
You know, I'd really complain about it, but let's just say, I was doing my 3D thing on the weekend, and I'm watching a Star Wars movie.
So oh, wow.
So I got nothing to say. It's like, I'm guilty of that because I'm watching it. So anyway. okay, so your trivia question, and by the way, we have our fourth person. Listen to this. Fourth person who is getting the pow-pow today, and that's going to be Abraham getting the pow-pow. The question is this. Listen to the question, and then listen to what's being said. Now, listen. Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. How is the question? If somebody ready to answer a trivia question, let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. Brother Stan.
Brother Stan?
Yes, sir.
How are you?
I can't complain.
Well, I think that's awesome that you can't complain, because that's a great spirit to have. That's a great attitude to have. So
I can't complain. I really can't. That I don't want to be in trouble. I have learned to be content.
You know, I'll tell you, it's just not comfortable thinking that the ends of the camp could start burning. I just think that's a bad idea.
For real.
Let's avoid that altogether. Okay, here we go. I'm going to give you the setup and give you the chance to finish. Here it is. Jesus said, when you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. How?
Openly.
That is correct, Armando! You are right, sir. That is it.
That was a guess, Brother David. He said it again when you're praying in the closet, you know. In your closet, and I think he said he'll reward you openly then as well. My memory is not what it used to be. I'm getting old.
No, but that's exactly right. You got it.
I'd like to share this really, really quick.
Yep, fairly.
The Lord, this was something, you know, one of those scratch your head. The Lord saw that young man healing and praying for people. And when the disciple said, Lord, he's not one of us, I'm wondering, there was no thumbs up back then, but I know the Lord may have smiled, looked at that young man. I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying? And that really must have encouraged that young man, because you can tell he was listening to the teaching.
Yeah, it's amazing to know what Jesus supports and how much that goes beyond what his disciples support. You know?
What's this?
I mean, it's like Jesus is like, hey, He's with us. Just be quiet. Leave him alone. He's doing great.
Leave him alone.
Yeah, leave him alone. What's the problem there? You got stuff to do. Do your stuff. Leave that guy alone.
But right? I would believe the Lord saw him and gave him a thumbs up. I mean, you know, I don't know back then, but a smile, I love that you say that.
That's a great, and that's a great way to think of it, because then your concept or your image of Jesus is scripturally correct, because that's how Jesus was. He was very supportive of people.
That must have fired that young man up after that.
Yep.
But
yep.
You know I love you all. Brother D, you know I love you. I enjoy the show. I call when I can. I just couldn't pass this trivia question up. Keep up the good work, y'all.
Thank you, brother. God bless you.
Amen.
God bless.
Yes, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, excellent job. Boy, we're just having it all over today. So before we get into this last teach, D brought something up that I want to kind of jump upon, which I think is really important, and I want people to understand. I'm not trying to be a therapist. I could have. I'm not trying to be, because that's not what the Lord called me to. I mean, I personally tell people two words for you, therapy. I mean, I just think that's funny. But anyway, but he brought up a really good point about people who are struggling, and bring up that point. What did you say?
I think I was saying, Dave, we talk so much, you know, between breaks, you almost can forget it. But I think we were saying about being honest and being real with what you're going through. And I was saying, I think you mentioned it too, just the importance of being real, Dave. And, you know, I want you to share how important that is, Dave.
So the authentic element of Christianity, we had a church in California, and we called it aletheia. And aletheia is the Greek word for truth or real. And it comes down to this. There's a lot of things that the Lord will let you learn and process through. In other words, you grow and, okay, we got to overcome this, or you got to have greater faith for this. But one of the things the Lord really dislikes is a presentation of being better than you are when you know you're communicating that you're better than you are. So let me clarify that. Trying to be better than you are so others think you're great is a grave sin in the eyes of God. How grave of a sin is it? Ananias and Sapphira were the first people killed by God in the church for lying about who they were. Name anybody else. Name somebody who was killed, you know what I'm saying, in the church, in the early church, for committing adultery. You probably can't find it. You can find something close to it, and some reference it in 1 Corinthians. But here we know for sure these two people who conspired to lie against God to prove that they were better people than they actually were brought the wrath of God. That's how important that is. And you have to think. People are like, well, that was the New Testament after the Ascension. The church has been established. There's no, well, that was the first century. Well, so is everything in the New Testament. That doesn't mean a thing. In other words, yeah, just be who you are. If it's bad, it's bad. So we used to, and I'll be really careful I say this because it requires me to be careful. But one time I was struggling with something, went into a church, and I've mentioned this before, and one of the leaders of the church came up and said, well, put on your Jesus face. Okay? Now, here's the thing, okay? I don't have a problem accessing joy and so on and so forth, but at that moment it was more grief, okay? So here's my response. I turned to the person. I said, should I put on the face where he's being crucified? Because that's the one I've got going now.
Wow.
So it's like, that was not nice of me, so I'm not confessing that that's something you should do. But what I'm trying to say is that sometimes you're hurting. If somebody says, how you doing? Don't tell them. Everything's fine. You know what I'm saying? Like the standard Christian answer. The SCA, standard Christian answer. How are you?
Fine.
Sometimes you have to actually say, no, how are you really? You actually have
right,
to follow
yeah.
it up. Because it's like people are like, well, I don't want to disturb you. No, if somebody asks you, if you're going to ask somebody how they are, listen to how they are. And if somebody asks you and if you don't want to say anything, say, no. Somebody asked me just the other day, how's your day going so far? And you know what I did? I looked at him and I said, that's a very good question. My answer is interesting.
Dave, think about this for a second. I can imagine this ties into carrying one another's burdens. I really
exactly,
can.
Exactly what it does.
But you can't hide it as well, though, because how can I carry my burden when I don't know what your burden
is? You can't carry one another's burdens if you don't share them. You have to share. It's okay. You're not perfect. Don't worry. You'll never be perfect like Jesus in the context of it's not, that's what we're talking about. Yes, you can overcome any sin. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you're being real, be real. When Jesus was in a tight spot, he asked the disciples to pray for him. And then he went into the Garden of Gethsemane. You see how that, you see? That's okay. So that real part is superbly important. Be real. It's okay. If you're hurting, it's okay. We've had people call on the show and cry. Some of the most moving moments on the show, right? I mean, this is true. Some people will laugh. Some people cry. So it's just like that touches us because we're not trying to be something we're not. Hey, I'm a mess, but I'm God's mess. And you might be a mess, but you're God's mess. Okay?
Dave, I think that draws you closer to, I mean, that's what this faith is about. I can imagine that old church that we always talk about shared in their hurts for one another and didn't put on a facade.
Yeah. It's tough. It's easier to keep track if you just tell the truth. Okay? How about that? Nice way to say that. I will take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media, and on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section, and it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
You get into the Word of God and something's going to happen that will blow your mind. Ready? The law of the Lord is perfect, Psalm 119:7 says, able to restore the soul. And I've been doing this for a long time, and in my 42 and a half years of devotions and in my diligent devotion time, I kind of separate that between the two. I cannot tell you, it must be thousands of times where my attitude has been, and then I went into the Word of God, and I came out different. It wasn't anything that I did as much as God speaking into me what he knows about his creation. And so I'm asking you, I'm pleading with you, even if you've been a Christian for 50 years, for 60 years, nay, for 70 years, like the Apostle John was on the island of Patmos, be in the Word of God. It is alive, and it will give life and impart life to you through God's Spirit. People come and they read the Word of God, and they're like, well, I get nothing out of it. Well, they don't mix it with faith, and the Word of God, the promises of God, not mixed with faith, are useless, because you have to be engaged with God. And know he's going to speak. People are like, well, that's a lot of requirement for me to get in there and read the Word of God. You want me actually to believe that God's going to speak to me? Yes, because he will. And if you don't, you won't hear him. So when you open up that book, take 30 seconds, more than you ever have before, and say, just in this moment, just at this time, tune me in, Lord. Help me to hear what you have to say. Speak to me and let your word breathe life into me.
And if you can't shout sight, you'll have to face a penalty as with every penalty.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. We've got to make a quick addition. Aunt Deb has saved the day. Nice job, Aunt Deb. She is right. In many of the newer translations, it does not say the word openly. It just says your father will reward you. So I just want to make sure that you understand that that's right. So if you just had reward, then I kind of gave it away. But she is 100% correct. That is why Aunt Deb is a part of everything we do. Nice catch. Very, very good. Very impressive, by the way. So anything, if you would have just said reward, anything like that, okay, you get it. You get A plus, okay? I don't grade on a curve here. I grade on a reality check.
I was wondering about that.
Yeah, yeah. So the majority of the newer translations don't have openly. Now, I like openly. You know, one translation actually says in public. Well, that's pretty open. But it is not a requirement to have that in there. And what do you say? I'm doing this study. It's fascinating. There's 5,600 to 10,000 New Testament texts. And then you have all these Bible translations, right? You got probably 165 or so. So a lot of translations. Did you know that the difference between all of those Bible translations with all the words is less than 0.01%? Less than 0.01% difference.
Wow.
People are like, but there's these keywords. Not a single keyword is a doctrinal issue. It's just absurd. And so when you get into it, it's like, uh-oh. And I got this whole breakdown. It's like amazing, which is why when people have a hard time about the difference, I don't get, come on. Are you kidding? If your God is not bigger than a translation, you got a whole nother problem going on. My God is bigger than the entire universe, let alone a different translation. Okay, so let's do our last trivia question. You guys should be able to get this one. It's pretty straightforward. Jesus said, no greater love has any man than this, than a man lay down what? Wow. You guys got to be able to get that one. Okay? No greater love has any man than this, than a man lay down. Okay, there you go. 972-445-0770 plus. You can text 214-210-8483 or send an email david@hemustincrease.org. We do have somebody that is calling in, and we're going to give them that chance. I also have history. You know, we got all of these things. A lot of these things going on. And so we'll see if that person calling in is going to be ready, and then I'm going to tell D we're going to probably have them. Can we have them hold so I can do history or not? Can we do history? We'll do history first. Let's do history. Well, people are answering. All right, so because on this day in 1978, the comic strip Garfield began, it's Garfield the Cat Day, plus it's also Take Your Cat to Work Day.
Interesting. Very interesting, actually.
Yeah. Can you imagine me if I brought Bert in here and put him in?
With a cat?
No. Every 5 seconds. I'd be like, hold on.
That's him barking.
Hold on. Could you imagine? Okay. Today is National Wristwatch Day. I used to wear a wristwatch, but now I got a phone, so I don't know what's...
I like watches.
Okay. Well, as long as you like them, I do. Today is also National Eat an Oreo Day. I like Oreos.
Pretty
Oreos
much. Are good.
Let's see. First stock car race sanctioned by NASCAR happened on this day in 1948. Who knew that? And then 1912 on this day, the United States officials established an 8-hour work day. No comment. 8 hours.
I wish
it was 8 hours. Anyway, all right, let's have the person swing on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Well, you're talking to Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. How are you?
I'm fine. Are you doing okay today?
Yeah, doing lots better, spirit-wise. Good workout, good weekend, nice stuff. Just so much better than last week. So I know the prayers make the biggest difference. So thank you for asking. I appreciate you for doing that. Thank you for that. Okay, here you go. This is it. Okay. Greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down
his life or a friend.
That is correct, Amundo! And I I would accept anything like his life or his life for a friend or his life for one another. All of that works for me. Excellent job, as usual. I knew I can count on you. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, y'all have a good afternoon.
All right. God bless you.
Bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Excellent job. We only have a, what do we got? We got like very little time, right? Okay, let me just get this. Hold on. Watch this in 2 minutes. I get this done. Do you think I can do it in 2 minutes? Okay, here's what I'm going to tell you. Okay, listen. The Christian walk is not something that you just snap your fingers in and everything is perfect. But the Christian walk is substantially better the closer you draw into God. It doesn't matter if you are theologically astute. It matters if you know where to go. In the law, when sin took place, the high priest went into the very presence of God dealing with the sin of for the nation one day a year into the presence of God, thereby using the law to testify that when you and I are struggling and it's a sin issue or any other issue, the place to go is in the presence of God. Don't run away like Adam and Eve. Run to him. His arms are wide open. And since we did Father's Day yesterday, let's just close it with this. One thing you have to love about the parable of the prodigal son is the dad was looking for his kid. God is looking for you to come walking up to the porch so he can put his arms around you, hug you, love you, kiss you, and tell you you are his. Okay? That's the Christian walk. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, taking a 22.5-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Just as I am, you reach down and see me.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsor.